Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back to Smell You Later.
It's a very seasonal spring episode of Smell You Later.
Aren't you feeling springy?
Isn't it the first episode since the beginning of spring? Because it turned spring last week.
It was Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's officially spring.
It's doing that thing where the weather gets really warm one day and then it's cold and rainy the next day and then super, super warm the next day and then everybody's getting sick.
Right. Exactly. Ugh. I'm feeling very springy, very fertile.
Very fertile.
It's so sunny.
It's that weather where I'm just like, ooh, I wonder if it's a legs out weather.
You were wearing dresses yesterday. I was dying.
I did
it.
And then I like put on pants and left the house. I like opened my window. I felt a breeze and I was like, no, it's too breezy today. I can't do it. It's too dangerous. This wind.
You're like on second thought.
Yeah. Also, I'm like, it's just too, you know, like you feel kind of shy when it's the beginning of spring. And you're like, are we allowed to, can we wear this little clothes yet? Is that okay? Am I going to be the only asshole who's like bare legging it? I was not, apparently. Everyone else was free balling out there.
I have never felt shy in my life.
All these also, naked knees.
Like, dude, in the, I don't know. Like, spending so much time in such a cold place in the Midwest, it's like all you want to do is leave your apartment without a jacket. Oh, like, yeah. It feels like you are Persephone coming back up from the underworld. I think I fucked that one up.
No, that's totally correct.
Yeah. I still haven't left my apartment yet. That has been, well, it's been this nice, but I'm gunning to one of these.
I feel like the guilt of like, oh, it's a nice day, I should go outside. And then I go outside and I'm like, the fuck am I doing? Like, I have no business out here. And then I just walk around like an idiot and I come home and I wasted all this time and I was like, oh, I was really supposed to be doing these things and I just wasted my time because it was sunny.
I mean, better to procrastinate in the sun than, you know.
It's true. Not at all. Yeah. It feels nice. And then I'm just like, oh shit, I didn't do that thing. Oops. But you know what? I have been noticing that people outside, I can smell them more in a good way. Like, I'll pass by people because, you know, that everyone's like going out and they're like,
yes,
like walking around in packs with their masks on, but they're still like dressed up weirdly fancy for Brooklyn. I don't know, just walking around in Brooklyn, like sitting on like eating food on the curb of a street, wearing like strappy heels and like a dress. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then I like walk past that cloud of perfume and I'm like, ah, the ladies are back.
Yep. Yes.
Spring.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's actually happened to me a couple times, not this week, but previous. I'm like, oh wow, people are still wearing clouds of perfume. And mm-hmm. as I say that, I'm like probably also that person.
Yeah.
So being as obsessed with fragrance as I am, and I'm always so paranoid about how much I'm wearing. So like whenever someone compliments the way I smell, my first like sort of reaction is like, oh my God, is it too strong? But it's like, no, bitch, this is like what you put this on for.
I always wonder that. Yeah.
I don't think like two sprays of fragrance makes a plume of scent.
But, no.
You know, you never know.
You have to really like, I feel like it's like a 6 spritz minimum to have that plume, the aura. I don't know, but these girlies, yeah, they're generous with it.
That's true. You know what? And more power to them.
Of course. Also, it's like now that we're wearing masks, it's like, if you want to be smelled, you gotta give it all you got.
You gotta lean in.
I can still smell pretty well with my mask on. I don't know if that means my mask sucks or not. Like,
okay, this was a story that I cut out of an episode beforehand because I was so embarrassed about it. I still am. But to that point, I was walking around a few weeks back and I smelled something so lovely and I was smelling it in a different way. And I was like, why does this smell like differently? And then I wasn't wearing a fucking mask. I had a mask on me. So I immediately put it, I think I like took it. Yeah. I don't know why I took it off in the first place, but I mean, wear a mask. We're still team wear a mask here. Get vaccinated if you can.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I see a lot of people without masks on, like outside walking. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be too judgy because, again, you're outside alone. There's nobody around you. Whatever. Don't come near me. But yeah, as long as you don't come near me.
Yeah, it's just like, it's New York, though. Like, how, exactly. When are you ever not around anyone?
That's,
you
know, true.
And it's like, we've been at this for a year. Can't you just wear a fucking mask?
I know. Usually it's like under their chin strapped. So I was like, okay. So I'm assuming that will go on your face at some point.
Or even worse, they have it on their mouth, but not over their nose. And it's always men. I don't mean to be like that, but it is truly always men.
Dudes. With it's like the slip.
Fucking schnozzes out. Yes. I'm like,
it like slips down their nose. And then even then it's like right on the horizon of their nostrils.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that doesn't count, sir. Sir, that's not right.
Right. Like, don't you have Twitter? Don't we know better?
No, they don't have Twitter. They can't read.
That's true.
And that's how I know they can't read.
Men can't read. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Oh boy, I smell like OG Lolita Olympica today.
I love this era you're in with Lolita Olympica.
I'm wearing my stupid Fiorucci Angel t-shirt with this like purple crystallized. They changed the shape of the bottle, so it doesn't look like an apple anymore. It looks more like a weird. Yeah, it used to look more like an apple. It's more like heart-shaped. Yeah.
Well, so it's more, what's the word I'm trying to get?
I don't know.
I can never get this word. Anyways.
Yeah, it kind of just looks like a faceted heart.
That's what it was. God damn it.
Hey! Great minds. Or it looks like someone tried to cut an apple in a really fucky way. But yeah, it brings me back, man. Again, when I think of not wearing jackets and then like wearing skirts, I'm also wearing a pleated skirt, like a crop t-shirt and a pleated skirt. So I'm just like, it's like that girlish, youthful, I don't know, happy outside vibe.
Yeah.
As I douse myself in this like heavy powdery, like Lolita Olympica. I think I know that they changed the scent from the original. Mm-hmm. Throughout the years. So I feel like this isn't exactly the same as it was when I first was introduced to it, but it still has that really fluffy violet, that powdery iris violet kind of vibe. That's just like, it just feels like a feather boa in scent form. That's what this feels like.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I need to get my hands on that again.
I think I found this on Guilt Group, actually. There was a deal. There was like a package deal on Guilt Group, and I was like, add to cart. Immediately.
Yeah.
Because I'm not paying in euros, man.
No.
This economy? No way.
Or for shipping.
Yeah. But Tynan, what do you smell like today?
You know what I smell like? I'm wearing Chanel number 5.
Whoa, unexpected twist.
Very. I'm doing a piece on it for Fashion Canada in print. And so Chanel sent me 2 bottles of it. And it's funny, like we all, whether or not we know Chanel number 5, we know Chanel number 5 because it is so ubiquitous. I mean, I know that we use that word quite a bit for a lot of fragrances on the show, but I mean, this is the fragrance. And so it's like, I have no idea what it smelled like, but I also know it very well. It's just one of those things. It's so funny to think of like what we think of as present day icons, whether they're products or people or fragrances, but it's like this is its 100th year, and so like this fucking predates like I don't know, like what are other iconic things? Britney Spears.
It does predate Britney Spears.
And that's all I can think of.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of like the history of it is so funny, and more so the urban legendary and where the actual history stops and where the urban legends start. I think that's so much fun because when you tell a tale so many times, it does sort of become canon, whether it's true or not, you know,
right?
What I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure some people would be like, that's not how truth works, but
truth has gotten quite a makeover this year.
That is very true. Chanel number five, I could run you down the notes, but I don't think there's any point to it, because one, it's sort of one of those scents where it just sort of contains everything, but the main part of it is there are so many aldehydes in it.
Right. Yeah. We talked about aldehydes in one of our first episodes.
We did. Yeah. As we discussed, I think as you brought up, you know, an aldehyde is a synthetic note that is very soapy and fresh and clean. And I've been doing a lot of research on the scent, of course, none of which I can remember at the present time. But Chanel number five was one of the first fragrances, if not the first, to hear out a synthetic note. Mm-hmm. And Coco Chanel wanted something to smell super, super clean. I think she kept saying she wanted to smell like a woman, not like a rose. And it's interesting to me that This is what they came up with even at the time, because to me, it starts off super, super soapy, super waxy.
Yeah.
It almost hits me like Replica's bubble bath. I mean, It is right there, really, really just like a bar of white Dove soap. And then it wears down and it's just this aldehydic fragrance. It's like you said, and I didn't understand when you said it. I don't know when you said it, but you did, that it's just really sweet. And it is, because it's just like all aldehyde and florals. And yes, there's a ton of florals, a ton of wood, a little citrus in there, but it's just this clean, weird, waxy, rubbery scent. And it's not really my shit, but it is, I can see why people like it. I enjoy it more than I thought I would when I agreed to do this. I was like, this sounds fun. Let me call it in and see what happens. And I like it. Again, it's not super for me. I said that to friend of the pod, Karen Esvig, who loves it. She thinks it's the most beautiful fragrance in history. And I was like, yeah, it's beautiful. It's not mine. And she was like, yeah, it really is not you. And I was like, okay, that wasn't an invitation. Just like drag you down. But yeah, so it's been a really fun journey. I'm excited to see where this piece takes me. So that is what I smell like today. Yeah. Oh, you know what I also think is what I've been thinking about is, like, I know we talk about gender on this show, and like that is so much of how fragrances are marketed. I often think about, like, how would X fragrance smell to any of us if it wasn't reliant on one gender? And I think so much about Chanel number five specifically, because I, as quote feminine as it is also so synthetic that I'm like, maybe this would read masculine if we weren't taught any differently, or if we were taught differently, you know?
Yeah. When I think of that conversation, I think about how pink was originally a men's color. Like, pink shirting was considered a very masculine thing, and now it's like, it still is. I think those classic brands, what the fuck are they called? Not Ralph Lauren. It's like another Ralph Lauren-esque brand, but all they do are expensive men's shirtings. I think it just might be called like Pinks or something. I don't know. It has the word pink in it, but.
Oh, I think that's oh my God. Is that a Brooks Brothers brand?
It might be, but. I
might be wrong too.
Their whole brand is kind of existing on that whole pink is a classic men's color. And I'm like, okay, this tells me more about your tax bracket than your gender, but sure. Right. But yeah, the same thing with fragrances. It's like, why are flowers feminine? Why can't they be masculine as well? Or just like, not, don't think about flowers that way. It's a plant. It didn't do anything. It just wants to live. Just let it live. Or
don't think about gender. Who cares?
Right? Yeah.
So we were kicking around episode ideas, and we were thinking about doing like a seasonal spring episode, and we were sort of like gun shy about doing so because it does seem a little like first thought, but personally I love when spring comes and we, you know, switch our scents, if you do the seasonal scent thing, from our fall winter scents to our spring scents. It's like the best pivot of the year to me. And
pivot of the year.
I love it. Pivot of the year. I love a good spring scent. I think they will ride you out all year if you let them. And we also wanted to take a second to talk about seasonality and fragrance, if that is or is not something that we fuck with. So yeah, I just wanted to kick it around and see where it took us.
Oh, I love spring because it's that slutty awakening from winter where you know, you're like, oh my God, the sun is out longer. It's not dark at like 4 o'clock and you can potentially wear a light jacket or no jacket. And, you know, it's all that good feeling, which is funny because I feel like spring lasts for like a month and then it's summer in New York City. And you're like, well, I hate this now.
Yeah, I'm still sort of like not used to the East Coast seasons. I feel like I talk about Madison all the fucking time on this podcast. Sorry, but it's like, I've lived there for so long and now I haven't lived here for all that long and I'm coming up on my second year. And yeah, I have said before that living out here, it is nice because you do get more of a spring because in Wisconsin, it's sort of like, it's going to be winter until May and then you may get like a week of thunderstorms and then it's summer. So, I don't know. I do feel like you get to enjoy spring more out here.
I also feel like I'm bad at doing seasonal things in the sense of people go camping or, I don't know, literally just like leave their zip code, which no one really has done. I definitely didn't do last year. And this year I'm like, yo, I got to do something this spring and summer to get out of this zip code.
Totally.
Just totally. Like look at a tree somewhere not here. Who can I swindle into letting me stay in their Hamptons Airbnb in the summer?
Right.
Why don't I know more rich people? That's my detriment.
Let's both work on that.
Yeah.
Do you switch your scents by season?
No, but if I do, it's usually fall. Because that's when like I feel like fall scents have so much more of an identity. Because, you know, you have your pumpkin spice, your apple cinnamons and the clove and like all the holiday scents. And the idea of wearing those in the spring or summer is weird. But the idea of wearing like a fresh floral scent in the winter is fine. Like, that's totally fine with me. I'm like reversed in that way. But when I think of spring scents, I think of obviously florals, plants, because the earth is coming back to life. And like watery aquatic scents, rain, dew, and stuff like that. Yeah, I feel like I wear mostly just the same scents I would normally wear.
Really?
Probably more of it though, just because there's more skin. Like there's more skin showing, so there's more skin to spray on.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah, so if anything, I just become more fragrant in general. I just up the volume on fragrance.
I never wear any more than 2 sprays. I'm terrified of it.
Really? I also feel like I have bad spray aim. So a lot of times I'll spray like my wrist and it'll only get like half of it. So I'm just
That's true. That's
gotta do it again.
That's so frustrating. No, totally.
I hate that. Yeah. I always do that. Every bottle, the atomizer is different. So like you don't know how much is going to come out, what the radius is. A lot of times I'll try and spray to my neck and then I'll get my chin or my face.
Oh, I hate that. I hate when you get your face.
I know.
That's why I have all these tattoos. So I have something to aim at.
Oh, that's a good call. Do you switch up your fragrances in spring?
I used to be like a diehard about that. I mean, the first probably, I don't even know when I started wearing all this shit. But yeah, I used to be. And I think I got that from my mom. I've like gotten everything from my mom. But yeah, it was the, obviously, like you said, the deeper, warmer fragrances in the fall, winter, which admittedly are much more my style than the brighter, juicier stuff in the spring, summer. But I don't know, like somewhere around like my mid to late 20s, I just sort of started wearing whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted to. And I don't think it had as much to do with being so deeply entrenched in beauty and fragrance and getting all this PR and shit that, you know, getting all these fragrances left and right that you had to try. It was just sort of like, why would I relegate myself to one type of scent just for the sake of doing so? You know what I mean?
Duh. I mean, between the two of us too, we have so many scents spoiled for choice. So obviously people probably think really hard about the purchase they're going to make because perfume's kind of expensive. And they're like, this is going to be my fragrance for the year or like my fragrance for this season. And we're just like, what of our 68 scents shall we wear today?
Oh my God. Oh, right. I often think about that. That's something I think about, like, in with what we do sort of in general. It's like we're very lucky to, I mean, a big perk of the job is getting all this free shit, but it's always something that I sort of consider when I'm like, oh, you know, like what would I actually spend my money on?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you I'm buying something, what is actually worth
it? If you're willing to buy it after your first freebies, it's a good testament.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to remember what the last thing I was. I'm like, oh,
that you bought?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I'm like, what did I buy that? I feel like I just buy beauty products if I don't know how to call it.
Well, yeah,
if it's something I don't have access to. Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Oh, yeah, just because, like, I mean, I don't know. I will also say that as I am more prone to wear, like, summer fragrances in the winter than I am winter fragrances in the summer, because that has come back to bite a couple of times. I have ruined scents that I love a handful of times simply by wearing them on a really hot day. One was this beautiful fragrance by Cool Life, which I don't think is in business anymore, but it was really warm and spicy, had this like very heavy cinnamon note. It was gorgeous, but I got it in like the middle of July and my dumbass sprayed it on and it was gorgeous, but it just choked me out the entire day. And I can never
put this on again.
Yeah, it was like when you drink an entire bottle of Captain Morgan a night, then you can never drink it again. It was like sort of that. It's like, I can never touch this again, even if it is good. Or one of my favorite scents, like I smelled Byredo Accord Oud a few years back, and I couldn't stop thinking about it for like 2 years. And I finally went back to Barney's in Chicago and bought it. It was in the summer, and I sprayed it on Insta. I was like, she's finally here, and was walking around and the dead ass middle of summer, and it just like again like got into my brain and choked me out, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Even when I smelled it this week, because I had to compare it to something else, Mixed Emotions, and I was like, I think I ruined this for myself, like, so yeah. I don't know, I as much as I prefer a warmer scent, it's like the relationship can be fickle.
Yeah, in hot weather you don't want anything that's going to make you feel more hot and suffocated.
No.
So, no. Yeah, you got to lose the ouds, the spices, unless they're done in, I don't know, in an interesting, nuanced way. Yeah.
I think like there are a few things that we've talked about recently. I don't mean to go back to Byredo again, but like Mixed Emotions, that is very woody and has a lot of depth, but I could definitely get away with that in the summer because it is bright enough and juicy enough that would be fine. So, I mean, but I think that the shit that like I really like, it's I gotta save that for
the colder months
because I'm gonna ruin it if not. Do you have any specific fragrances that you? I know that you're not about really the seasonal stuff, but do you have any seasonal scents or scents that lean seasonal to you?
You know what it is? I think spring in particular is a season where it's such a shift in mood and perspective that you feel like you could be a new person. And then I like switching up my scent because I'm like, who am I now? Who's this girl in the spring who like flounces around? There's like this romantic kind of notion to spring that makes me want to wear romantic smelling scents or just smell romantic scents. And a lot of that has to do with, or rather a lot of those tend to fall into the category of, like, I don't know what you like. Okay, scents like Marc Jacobs Daisy, like Lolita Lempicka, or like Byredo Gypsy Water, where they're these sweet, airy, I don't know, they're like light and effervescent. They're just very buoyantly spirited. And that always kind of raises my spirits. You know what? Actually, after we filmed our Hayley Kiyoko episode, and then like they sent us the fragrance after the fact, and then I was like, I don't know if this is for me. And then I always test out fragrances when I first open them. I like spray it on the box, like on the inside of the lid. Just as like a form of a spritz, like a thing to spritz before I put it on myself, basically.
Yeah.
So I sprayed it on the box and I smelled it and I was like, eh. And then I broke down the boxes, put them in my little recycling pile. And for literally 3 weeks afterwards, I don't take out my recycling very often, but... Every time I'd walk past the recycling, which is right next to my kitchen sink, I would smell this kind of like kitten fur, soft, sweet smell that was like a little bit musky and a little bit citrusy. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. What is that? It smells like teenage girls. Like, what is that? And then I was like, sniffing around and I'm like, is there a fucking ghost in my apartment that's hovering over my kitchen sink? Like, what the fuck is this? Every time I go to wash my dishes, I smell this perfume. And then I realized it was the box in the recycling bin. Then I went back to the bottle and it was like, I didn't know you had this in you the whole time. And now I'm like, okay, I think this is just one of those scents that has to settle a bit. Yeah. Like right out of the spritzer, it's a little bit too citrusy to me, where I almost get twangy citronella vibes. I don't know. It just read as really citrusy and kind of synthetically sweet initially. Mm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to wear it. And then I wore it and I was like, ah, that's the ticket. After a couple hours, and then it becomes that youthful, carefree scent of spring that I was thinking of. And I was like, aha, I see now.
Wait, going back, you may have just answered this, but what to you is a romantic scent?
Something that's kind of airy and amorphous, aquatic and dewy, and a little bit sweet, but not cloyingly so.
Yeah, that's so funny. That's a little like the exact opposite of what it is to me.
I don't know. I think it's just because like those scents remind me of when I was a teenager. Yeah. When I was a teenager, I was super romantic. And I think I just bought too much into Disney and fairy tales and shit like that. So to me, I always just think of that's associated to like romance with me.
Mm.
Textbook romance, novel romance. And that's what I think of. I'm like, ah, remember when I was carefree and had hopes and dreams? That's what that smells like.
Wait, how do you think... Let me see if I can stumble through this question. How do you think like typical ideas of femininity played into your idea of romance?
Oh, lots of rosy, red, pink, fluffy. Yeah, like the whole like Disney princess aesthetic. That was like hyper performance of femininity, all that stuff, which naturally I was not when I was younger, and I was not allowed to wear makeup. So I was like,
yeah. Say, well, this is so funny because like I feel the exact same way about all the shit that I love. I'm like the exact opposite of you. Like all the things that smell romantic to me are, I mean, all the things I love, you already know, but like deep, spicy, sweet, whatever. And that, I don't know that that reads masculine to me, but those notes are more traditionally thought of as masculine than like
right.
the traditional feminine
totally
perfume. And also those were all the things that I was not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was never a masculine person. Everyone let me know that. But, so it's funny that we both, our ideas of romance were things that we did not ourselves like align to. I don't know.
Yeah. No, because I didn't really align with, I didn't identify with that myself. That was to me very twee and it just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
But I recognized in the way that narrative plays out, I was like, oh, okay, if you look this way, if you do these things and generally surround yourself with feminine stuff, that's what leads to romance. So that's why I associated with it. But at the same time, I'm like, that's not reality. And that's not my way of going about it. But it's almost like watching your favorite rom-com over and over again, even though you know what happens, but you just enjoy it for the sake of it. That's what those scents are to me.
That's so funny because I, for the longest fucking time, like longer than I would like to admit, like I was so terrified of being perceived as feminine, which I am. Like I came out the womb just like this, but I was terrified of being perceived as feminine, and I, you know, did everything I could to like squash it and hide it and do all this shit which just made me a total fucking weirdo, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Not that I'm like the most normal person you've ever seen, but it's like take me and watch me try to disguise myself as something that I'm not. And it's just like putting a square hole into a round peg, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. Like the contradiction reads in and of itself.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it wasn't until one, I stopped caring, and two, I stopped being afraid of being feminine. Cause like, what's the problem with that? Or what would that even mean?
Yeah.
And that like anything about me starts to make sense. And I mean that like as far reaching as I could possibly mean that with like my friends, my friend group, my friendships, my personality, my relationships, my job, literally my whole career. So it's like, I don't know. And it's, I think not to be like, scent plays a huge part of that, but it, I mean, in a way that it does. I mean, that so much of scent is an entryway into so many other things, because it's the first way that you, it's a way that you can experiment with yourself that is invisible. So it's very mm-hmm. low stakes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I mean, even before little other subtle things, like maybe wearing a pink shirt or painting your nails, it's like, I could fuck around with scents that I thought were feminine or masculine and just see what I liked and figure myself out in that way. And yeah, I mean, it was probably a larger and smaller part than I'm making it at this point, but it's just interesting to think about how, you know, what we were taught about self-expression and beauty. I mean, it's all we think yeah. about all the time. So here we are.
I think scent was my one way when I was younger, like in high school and junior high, like scent was the one way I was able to communicate that I had any type of softness about me, because I was so afraid of being vulnerable and being real. I definitely had so much internalized misogyny because girls were always pitted against one another back then. It was a very like slut shamey time in the early aughts.
Oh yeah, totally.
I was so like, I'm so much cooler than that. Like, I'm not into like dumb girly shit, which gross is like very embarrassing when I think about it now. And I think the way I would balance that out is that I was drawn to these powdery, super feminine scents. And also, I think the fact that it did elicit a certain amount of wanted attention kind of reinforced that for me, that I was like, oh, okay, so I can act cool and wear weird clothes and not wear makeup and, you know, have this weird persona. But then by wearing, God, it was a Victoria's Secret body spray. I cannot for the life of me remember the name of it, but it wasn't in the core collection. I'm positive it's discontinued now, but it was definitely in its standalone beauty store, not in the underwear store, Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
And it's most closely resembles to Benefits perfume, maybe, baby. I think that's what it's called.
We got to figure out which one this is.
And it also resembles Charlotte Tilbury's fragrance. I think she released like one fragrance a while
ago. Yeah.
Kate Moss was like the face of it. So it resembles those two perfumes, but it's just very powdery and super musky. And it had like, I feel like lots of iris and jasmine in it. And that was like the one thing that like, I was friends with all the skater boys, but they would just like awkwardly be like, oh, whoa, you like smell good. I was like,
yeah.
Like, I got in my like little girl mind, that's like, I want boy attention, but I'm also afraid of boys.
Very me. I want boy attention.
Yes. Smell me.
It's so funny you say that, because I, like you, having a lot of internalized misogyny, I had so much internalized homophobia. And for longer than I like to admit. And I remember, this is before, I mean, I've always been gay, but this is before I was out. I was really young. I was at the mall with a girlfriend of mine who, now would never say anything like this, but I was in high school, but I think I was like still like 14. I mean, I was young. And I remember shopping for cologne, and I picked up a bottle of Estee Lauder's Beyond Paradise, which for men, which I've talked about before. It's I love it. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, your vacation scent.
It's super like, not beachy, but just like aquatic, not tropical. It's just lovely. And Luca Turin, who we're talking to tomorrow, it's one of his, I don't want to say favorites, but I think it's one of his favorites. He gave it 5 stars, and he never gives anything 5 stars. I think he called it like the best for, I don't know.
Damn. I need to smell this now.
It's so good. I'll bring it over. It's just fantastic and beautiful and fruity and aquatic, whatever. So I picked it up. I fell in love with it. And she was like, oh, that's so feminine. And I was like, but I love it. You know what I mean? And it's for men. Like, let me have this one thing. It's what I fucking want. It's like, it smells like a girl, but it's for men. Like, fine.
Yeah.
And I was trying to balance so much and trying to figure so much out at that time. But in, I don't know. And I will never forget like smelling it for the first time.
You're like, but it says for men. Duh.
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly.
Like, it's fine. And I think, and I think at that point I would never have bought anything for women, like God forbid.
Yeah.
When now all I own is women's fragrances. But I think that was the way I like made it okay for myself. I was like, well, it's, you know, it says for men. And I'm still wearing it to this day. I'm going to wear it tomorrow when we talk to him. But God, it's so funny.
Yeah. I feel like so much of our beauty choices were probably informed by like internalized misogyny and internalized homophobia.
Internalized something for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, there's right now, and thank God, there's all this, you know, to talk about like, I wear makeup for me. It's like, okay, great. Fantastic. We know. But, you know, in very recent history, it was not like that, you know?
Extremely. And I still kind of isn't. I don't know. For a large majority of the population, there's still the same stigma about makeup and about beauty. That it's just like, eh, that's just for like dumb women to catch men. Like, okay, like don't get mad because you're not caught.
Right. I often think about like, you know, everyone says like, we're not wearing makeup for men anymore, which I do believe to be true, but I feel like in that same breath, I don't want to say women, but like the people who are wearing makeup, if the men aren't judging you for makeup, the people who are wearing makeup are judging you 10 times harder for what you're wearing and why. You know what I mean? It's like, can I live? Can I put on my mascara and live, please?
Yeah. I feel like we have to remind ourselves that everyone has their own sense of body or facial dysmorphia, where what you see, like if I see a woman who has false eyelashes on, that they're like, it's just like a vinyl awning on their eyelids.
Yeah.
But like she thinks she looks great and she's happy. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's your level of what you think looks good on you. And that's cool. That's none of my fucking business. Like, it's not for me, but if that makes you happy, that's fucking cool. Can we finally just be in an era of people minding their own business about beauty? Other people's.
Yeah.
It's not even about like not wearing makeup for men. It's about like minding your own business.
I would absolutely deeply love that.
Yeah. Especially with social media, the shit you see there that that everyone thinks is normal is highly, highly edited and highly stylized to look a certain way. And then now we're like, well, now we're all supposed to have these like snatched faces. And I'm not even sure what that means. It sounds violent, but like.
Yeah. I often forget even someone who, you know, social media is such a part of my job and I don't know, like always has been, I guess. And I don't say this to like gas myself up. I don't care what you do to your fucking photos. I don't Facetune my photos. I will bump up the light and I'll bump up the saturation. But like, I don't care if I have like zits or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, essentially what you see is the photo that was taken. I don't have Facetune. I don't know how to use it, whatever. But I still forget that like so much of what I see
is edited.
Facetuned the house down, you know? And luckily I feel like I am to a place, I'm old enough to not really be affected by what I see. Like social media doesn't make me feel like shit. And I've curated my socials to serve me in a way that makes me happy. But I still, I'll look at someone's makeup and be like, my God, that looks too good to be true. And I'm like, well, oftentimes it is, Tynan. And I've seen a couple influencers do like videos on how they Facetune their photos. And I'm like, oddly, in a way, I'm kind of grateful that this is out there, not for myself, but to just like to remind others that these people that you're worshiping are still Facetuning the shit out of what they're posting. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, it's such a weird, I think everyone should do whatever they want to their face and their photos, but it's just a good reminder that like none of it's real.
Yeah. Also, that to me is like another Russian doll situation of head fuckery, because it's like, okay, so it's like, you're an influencer who is trying to be transparent about the fact that you Facetune yourself. So you're teaching other people how you do it, but then like, you're still doing like what's the end here? I'm just like, what's the end goal?
So now it's like, are we all Facetuning our
photos? Yeah.
I don't know.
The result is still the same. So what's the end goal supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, and it's odd because like now having, what can I say about getting sued? You know, like beauty advertisements, like you can't show anything that is not being achieved by the product. You know what I mean? So if you are advertising a mascara, they can't be wearing lash extensions.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Or like singles. So I think in a way that is good. And like having worked for a beauty brand, our legal team was very strict with what we could and couldn't do. So it's essentially like what you saw was what was happening, which was great, but it's, I don't know, I'm going with that. It's just like, I guess I mean to say like social media like can be a little bit more.
It's a lawless land.
even like your makeup.
Yeah.
Even like walking through Sephora and seeing ads, like those ads at this point are probably more real than what you're seeing on socials half the time. But I don't know, go off. I know I already asked you this, but if you had to have one spring scent.
Oh.
And I'm not going to force you to, but if you had
Okay. Byredo Gypsy Water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why Gypsy Water?
To me, my interpretation of it, it's the perfect mutable. It is a bit of a skin scent, but it's a little bit more than that because it has this warm textural quality to it that gives it the sweet muskiness of a skin scent. But then it's almost like wearing your favorite fitted pair of blue jeans or a leather jacket that's perfectly molded to your body. It's like that in a scent form for me, but it's light. It's not heavy.
Mm.
I don't know. It's just comfortable. This kind of like, it just reminds me of my favorite comfortable clothes. That's like when you like spring a little bit for the cashmere and you're like, oh, it's worth it because it's so fucking soft every time I wear it and it looks great all the time and it never goes out of style. It's like that in fragrance form to me. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's like, I could be that type of person with that kind of stability in my life, like that'd be great. But if not, there's scent. We can pretend if it's scent.
We can't pretend.
Yeah. God. What's yours?
Let me go get it. Hold on. I have three, but the number one that I will like, it will always be a spring scent to me is the original Marc Jacobs for Men.
Oh, it love that one.
It's so good. It is so good. And like, I'm smelling the bottle right now and it's weirdly like you have to just smell it on the skin because smelling the atomizer does not do it justice at all. I mean, I'm looking at the notes right now, but it doesn't even matter. It's just really, it smells like a cold beach. Like it's not tropical beachy. It's just really, it's just sweet enough, but it's really green and crispy and effervescent. It's just like, oh my God. And it is, again, it is one of the very first fragrances I ever wore. I bought this as my first, like, quote unquote, spring summer scent in high school.
Wow.
Dude. And it's like, I'm on my second bottle of it, which one I never finished since.
I know.
And
I can't remember the last time I finished a perfume.
No, and I don't even know when I bought this one, but I know I bought it with my own cash and I was already like deep in it in beauty. Yeah. I didn't think, I just like didn't care. It was such a no-brainer to me that I didn't even think to call it in. It's such a part of my life that I was like, I can't be without this. You know what I mean? They're like my headphones. It's like, if it breaks, I'm going to replenish it immediately. Yeah, that's like the number one spring scent that I will like, I'll wear it for the rest of my life, no questions. And it's just, it makes me so happy every spring when I return to it. It's probably like once that warm weather hits, I don't know if I've said this, but I don't wear seasonal shit anymore. I just like wear whatever I want whenever I want. But when it is like spring vibes, this is what I reach for first. And it's always just like, ooh, we're back. And it always like does feel like, oh, another year's passed, you know, like here we are again. But I don't know. Yeah. And what I will say is I'm really excited this year to wear Killian Roses on Ice. Because that is such a lovely, dewy spring scent.
Such a good spring summer scent.
Yeah, in the fall, right? And so I can't wait to, now that we're back, I can't wait to spray that one on after I get Chanel piece off my plate. So,
Speaking of Chanel, that actually reminded me how I feel like it correlated to spring, but when I was, I think like my junior or senior year of high school, back when department stores would give you a gift with purchases, and my mom gave me the gift with purchase, which was a small bottle of Chanel Chance that I fucking loved because I was like, this is Chanel. This is fancy. And now I smell like a fancy Chanel girl. And it was just like such a, it was feminine to me, but also very grown up. So it wasn't feminine in like a frivolous way. It was like feminine in like a grown up woman who has her shit together kind of way.
Yeah.
And that always made me feel
Chanel Chance is one of my favorites. I don't own it, but I will. I mean, I would buy that right now, no questions asked.
Yeah, it was a classic.
It's a classic. And it's like, it feels contemporary in a way that others, maybe the one I'm wearing, might not.
I stopped wearing it because so many girls wore it.
Yeah,
it got really popular. So then I was like, okay, I'm smelling this in too many people. I don't want to wear this anymore. Yeah. Which also happened to Gypsy Water. I feel like in, gosh, like 2015 or something, that was like some popular indie scent. But I realized that when I wear it, I always layer it over the Byredo, the extrait oil, the Lacelle. And that's one of their extraits that's supposed to smell very leathery. And I love wearing that on its own. But when I layer Gypsy Water over Lacelle, it's incredible. And that's why I love Gypsy Water so much. So I was like, oh, I miss having the team. I want to get the team back together, but I've only got one component left. I still have the oil. It lasts a really long time because it's so potent. So you only need a teeny little bit. But yeah.
I can't wait to interview Luca Turin tomorrow.
I'm so excited for that.
I'm going to ask him if he's ever smelled cloud.
Yes!
And if he has,
love to know his
send him a bottle.
Yes.
Me too. Me too. Okay, well, we have some fun things in store for you. So follow us on Instagram to keep up with everything and answer our Tuesday question where we have a lot of fun. We are at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at Tyann Buck.
And I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
Until next time, smell you later.
Smell you later.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.